Now, I want to give you another example. That some of the things that Henry Gruber taught was very new to me, but I could identify with it. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I was learning from him, just like I learned from Kenneth Hagin. When I listened to Steve Quayle talk about the giants and all the things that's going on in secret, the UFO problem, you know, and I said, now, you know, the ancient aliens get a free pass. They, you know, people consider them weird anyway. But when you watch the show and they show you the evidence, it's very strong. But it has a idolatrous twist to it. Well, God raised up Holy Ghost men and women to expose the things that's really going on. They minister to people that have been abducted. Now, that's weird to the modern religious mind. There's no such thing as a UFO. Now, you got all them planets out there. The Revelation said the stars were far from heaven. It's not talking about literal stars, because it don't take but one to destroy the earth. But it also said that the problems that it will cause. So the stars didn't just obliterate the planet. He's talking about people from the stars. And some people say, well, those are angels. Not all, because 1 Corinthians 15 talks about terrestrial beings and celestial beings. I don't know why that's so hard for people. Once you're stuck in a way of thinking, and you want to keep it the way you believe it, that's pride. But when God raised up Holy Ghost men and women of God, that's mature. And they teach you things, and they show you things. The people that did the research, they talked to people and counsel people who have been abducted, who saw the ships and the funny looking alien people. And they were, and there's an agenda, a satanic agenda behind all of it. So if you say, well, that you know, I ain't listening to that. What you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, the way I learned about Steve Quayle, he was interviewing Henry Gruber. And I started listening to him. And I love him. And this is the other thing. Some people, God saved them on the... They got saved. They didn't. He didn't grow up in church. He didn't get indoctrinated. A lot of people got... Some of the best people that God has saved, they believe in and cooperate better because they didn't learn. They didn't learn to resist the Holy Spirit. People in church, Pentecostal churches, denominational churches, they learn in church how to resist the Holy Spirit, how to quench the Spirit. If God brings something to your attention, it's up to you to see it through and go to the next glory. The Lord will not leave you blind. He didn't do that. He picked Ezekiel up by the hair and showed him. He grabbed him by the back of his hair, the hair behind his neck. He couldn't turn his head because he was held by his hair. The Lord showed him what they were doing in the dark. Nobody would believe that. God showed him and picked him up by the hair, by the nape of the neck, and showed it to him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will do that. When God does that for you, believe him. The Holy Spirit just don't show you smooth things. He show you the truth. He show you what's going on. And he'll keep you ahead of what Satan is doing. Now, Phil Schneider talked about how he was working on that underground train, that secret train. They have a nuclear drill that can vitrify stone. And not, they don't have to expel the dirt where people could find it. And this thing was back in 96. They killed him too. When his memory came back, he remembered what happened to him. And he went around talking about it. And it was so far-fetched, they didn't kill him at first. They eventually killed him. And Steve Quayle was about to interview him, but they killed him the week. He was supposed to interview him on Monday. They killed him on the weekend, that Friday or that weekend. Now, his story needs to be told. Not only that, Perry Stone met a man that wanted to talk to President Obama about the underground train. Same thing. One country didn't pay him, and he wanted somebody to make the other country pay him and talk to, you know, he thought Perry Stone knew Obama. But this stuff, there's a lot of things going on. Why do you think the country is in trillions of dollars worth of debt? It wasn't just bad management, it's an agenda. And all you have to do is listen to the people that God raised up to, that know they had enough courage to talk about it. Now, it's enough loss. Even in your own ministry, the Lord will grow you and he'll groom you for things to be greater. I know things that will help ministries go forward. But most ministers avoid listening. I try to say things to see if they'll be hungry for it. And when I explain my ministry to others, you know, and what God has given me, I give them a synopsis to see what they'll do. And most of them don't want to hear all that. I say, Lord, you pulled me aside, taught me about following Jesus. Nobody really don't seem to want it. I said, well, what else can I do? He just kept teaching me. He didn't even answer that question. He just kept teaching me. I said, well, he's still on this situation, so I'm going to see what happens. I want to know what happens. But he told me. He said, this was way back in the mid-90s. He said, if they don't follow me, I'm going to raise up people that will. I'm going to raise up people that nobody know. If the ministers now don't follow me, like they should, I'm going to raise up people that we, and he's done it. In 2016, when he told me to do this website, I said, that's when the revelation started pouring. When I would preach, I would teach all kind of stuff. And I would try to get people in on following God, because I knew what God would do in anybody's life that would obey him. But the revelation, the greater revelation of following God it didn't come out in ministry when I taught at churches and like it was when I was in God's presence. I used to wonder why. But God was waiting on a new generation. And then in 2016, when Brother Harden taught Sunday school, and everybody listened to me, they need to listen to what I heard. On the first page, there's a broadcast. I put classic. That's Brother Harden teaching Sunday school. And I want, if you listen to me, listen to that, because that when I heard him, I knew what to do. And then the Lord, a few weeks later, I was on vacation and I did the first broadcast. If you listen to the first Heart to Heart broadcast, I did it on vacation in our Gulf Shores. And I was trying to be quiet because Olivia had just went to sleep and my wife was going to sleep. And I wanted to go ahead and begin. The Lord had released me to do these broadcasts. So you can tell I'm trying to be quiet. That's because I didn't want to wake up my baby girl. Because you can't do a broadcast with her around. And I also went to the laundromat and did another one the next night while I was waiting on the clothes to wash. You can probably hear the van running because it was hot and I had the air conditioner on. Now, I do these things. I'm not wealthy like other ministers. I work for this. I do this. And my life is busy. So I have to do it however I can. Many broadcasts, the Lord, his assignment was to do as many as I could. That's why so many of them. And I have to work. I work two jobs. I used to work at my job and then in my business. See, if you work over 8 hours and you work another 4 hours, that's two jobs. That's like having a full-time and a part-time job. I've been working two jobs for years. So I had to take time and do broadcast. That's why the first, until 2021, I did most of the broadcast while I was driving to work or driving home. And I had And that's why they were 20 minutes long. See, everything with God, you do what you have to do. When nobody else will help you, you do what you got to do. So if it's rough around the edges, just you got to excuse that and focus on what the Lord is trying to get over. Everybody God used, they're not always wealthy and people don't always have the financial backing that they need to do it. Beautiful. Once I retired, then I was able to eliminate the road noise. I do it in my garage. And I make it quiet and I can do a good broadcast. If I did it in the house, you'd hear my baby girl making noise. and all her games and TVs and, you know. Nevertheless, you do what you got to do. But his instruction was to do as many broadcasts. And I said, well, Lord, how am I going to advertise it? He said, I'll send people to the broadcast. So those of you who he sent to the broadcast, use the knowledge that God has given. It didn't come from me. It came from him. I also do a radio broadcast. And he told me in 2018, every broadcast you do, advertise, let people know about the website. And see, the hungriest people will go to the website. When you hear God, when he gets a point over to you, you have to receive it. If you don't receive it, he can't work with you. If you receive it, then you'll have faith. And that's where your power. When you yield to the Lord to the point that you receive what he said, and to the point that you do it. Now, was all this activity I do easy? No. But it's easier than flying to another country, doing a crusade, preaching to thousands, and then 10% of them will hear it. God is using modern technology, the internet. I can minister all over the world and not leave my home and still minister by the Holy Ghost. This is important because I've entered into another glory. God prepared me all this time to do this. And there are things I want to tell pastors and I got a lot of pastor friends. You would think that they will call me, you know, and I would have a Holy Ghost conversation. It don't happen, folks. I hardly ever minister to pastors like I used to. Only doing this broadcast. And there's a reason for it. God want to give information to people that have earned his trust. If he told you to listen to it, then, you know, and this is the same thing. God told Kenneth Copeland to go to ORU. And he went. He didn't have a job. He had a wife, young children. And he was going to be his pilot. He ended up working for the ministry and going to the school and learning. And God trusted him with a beautiful global ministry. See, when you see things through, if you heard people's testimony, they had a time where they were not wealthy. All they had was faith. And they did something with it. Ministry, it grows from glory to glory. It's not like all of a sudden it's not like a man going to be an engineer. All right, he finishes school, he works as an engineer, he makes more money than he ever made in his life, like my cousin did. He was an electrical engineer. He went to school, he almost quit. His mother encouraged him to continue. He finished, he got a job, he moved where he wanted to. He wanted to live in California because it's sunny, he liked the sunshine. He bought him a house, probably had a pool. What he said, I made those big checks. He took me the way he said. He said, I'm so glad I finished school. I make big checks. I made those big checks. Now, this was back in the 70s or 60s and 70s. He made big checks. He made enough money to go and pay for a car cash in one check, you know. And he's smart. He went on to be with the Lord a few years ago. He's older than me, but when you follow God and see it through, like in the world, in the secular world, you finish an education, you can go and make immediate money. And that's what people expect. See, people that go to seminary school, when they finish, you may not make much money at all. You may have to get another career to fund your ministry. Unless you go to a big church, then you might get a big check. But that's another dynamic. This is why I brought that up. When you follow God, you need to be skilled at using your faith. And see, if you go through seminary school and then you get a great ministry and you're getting paid and that's all you know, well, if you never learn to live by faith, you're preaching about faith, but you don't know how to live by faith. And if you do anything to rock the boat, now you got to start another ministry all by yourself and learn to live by faith. And you don't, God is foundational. That's the point I'm trying to make. He knows how to get you started and you will ever increase, but you got to do it His way, His plan. You can do it you can use a worldly plan platform to get started, but you still got to learn to use your faith. And there's no substitute for it. And I've known about many ministries. They've been in ministry, they made more money, but when they went out on their own, they had to learn to use their faith. Very important. It's a skill. But people that are skilled at using faith, when it's time to go to the next glory, you let God get your attention and do what He's. That's all following God is about. Letting Him be the head. Without Him, you can be nothing. It's an illusion to believe that you can do it another way. Now, it's just like a person getting healed. All right? You got to say with your mouth, "By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed." And then some Christians will say, "Well, I want to tell the truth. I don't want to be lying." All right? Then they say how they feel. All right? Jesus died on the cross. Before He died on the cross, He was beaten by the Romans till He didn't even look like a man. He paid for your healing. So if you say, "Well, I still feel bad, I must be sick," you're lying. Because by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. If you stand on the word of God, your body will line up. The facts that you feel in your body will be changed into perfection. You will feel good again. Dr. Gus Prosh used to say years ago, some people forgot, they've been hurting so long, they forgot what it's like to feel good. They live with pain. All right, I understand that and sympathize with them, but if you stand on the word of God, you can be healed. I sympathize with a person, but how they feel is not the final result. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And I'm not even, I didn't even go to, my thoughts didn't even go to the resurrection yet. Because even if you die, get buried, get cremated, whatever, you're going to have a brand new body. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. If you stay in faith and don't go back to the world, you're going to have a brand new body again. So, This your body in this life, if it's not lined up, if it don't feel lined up with the word of God, how far will you take it? If you say, "Well, I don't feel healed, I guess I'm not healed," you're lying. That's the lie. That's the deception. You're giving Satan more credit than you are God. And I don't know another way to put it, because by Jesus' stripes you are healed and were healed. He did this for you. So it's what you say. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose. It don't get no simpler than that. You're the king in this world. What do you have to say? "Well, God allowed me to be sick." He cleared that up for me in the 80s. He said, "I allow what you allow. I allow what you allow." That, I never had a problem after that. I said, "I'm taking what's mine." And I had to enforce my success. And we came from glory to glory. There's so much the Lord would do if people would yield to him and learn to yield to him. Hosea 6 and 3, he said, if we follow on and know the Lord. Why? I don't understand why people won't do this. And I can analyze and try to figure it out, but that they have great measures of faith. They do remarkable things otherwise. But then when the Lord tells them to do something, they waffle or chicken out. And that's not okay. He said, Hosea 6 and 1, come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. The third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now watch verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rains unto the earth. See, he after the third day he rose again. We rose up with him. He's going to reign in the millennial reign. When it's time for Jesus to reign, then he's going to rapture his church, then judge the world. Then when Israel's blindness is over with, you know, all these things got to happen. When he touched the ground, he's going to reign on earth. He raised us up with him. In the week that he did this, the natural week that he did this, he died on a Wednesday. And then you got Thursday, Friday, the Sabbath day, and he rose on the first day. The third day, we rose up with him. And all we have to do is claim our salvation and claim our healing. We can do it at our will. And not only that, but if we follow on to know the Lord, sometimes people have questions and they don't trust God to answer them. And so they remain with clouded judgment. That doesn't have to happen. Look at Psalm 15. This is David asking the Lord a question, receiving something from the Holy Spirit. He asked a question, verse 1. And this is the only verse that David was talking. David said, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? Now, David was a warrior. The warriors would live in tabernacles. Now, I'm thinking about it this way because I'm looking at David. The battle's over. It's at the end of the day. Everybody's going to camp out and go to sleep. And he see different soldiers going to different places. Now, this is not biblical. This is just my imagination. And some people, they had fellowship with certain ones. And so something inspired him to say, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle or tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? And then now the Lord is talking, answering David. And this is what needs to happen for us all in many matters of our lives, especially our ministries. Verse 2. The king is saying, the Lord our God is saying to David, his son, his servant, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. This is a very honest person the Lord has described, a person of integrity, a person of love. That's the kind of people God want to talk to. And sometimes people have these qualities. And so the Lord, he's trying to introduce you to another glory. You were faithful all along. And now it's time to go forward. So he prepared people to give you greater information. They may be older, younger, but if God is in it, you'll know it. When I heard Henry Groove, I didn't have to say, Lord, is he right? The anointing was on his life. I heard my Father in his voice. I heard the Holy Spirit in what he said. Same thing with Steve Quayle. And same thing with Kenneth Hagin. I started listening to Kenneth Hagin the most after I got called to the ministry. I listened to him before that, but I really, as a minister, I heard the Lord start clearing religious beliefs up for me. Because when he gave me a message, it would be more refined than Pentecostal views that I was used to. And I began to enter into a new glory more and more. And then Kenneth Hagin taught the pure word of God better than others, or more understandable than others. Because there was no religious dogmas mixed in with his message. It was a more certain message. He was certain about faith. He was certain about healing. He was certain about authority. He didn't put that Pentecostal spin on it where, you know, we have authority, but sometimes the Lord allowed this and that. No, there was no spin on it. And it was more like what I was getting, and I was attracted to it. See, deep calls to deep. I wanted to know the Lord without interference. And I was seeking the Lord to understand things, and I didn't want any satanic interference. And I kept hearing it. People would preach the truth. God gave them a pure message, but they put the religious spins on it, whether denominational, Pentecostal. And people, you know, people still do that. Now, Kenneth Hagin didn't do it. He had conversations with the Lord. But sometimes people do, you know, and many faith teachers, they teach a pure message because they studied under him. Now, those that go on and seek the Lord like David and ask questions, you can get even more. See, ministers like men of God, like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Cope, they get you to a point, but you got to seek the Holy Spirit because there's so much more to know. I can get people to a point. I want people to get to a point that they look to God. And I just show people, what don't let the enemy interfere with it and keep the process going, because there's so much more to know. And the more I learn from the Lord, the easier it is to understand and operate in. Jesus said, the Father always hear my prayers. And I said, I wish he always heard mine. He really does. I just had to get some things cleared up. And the Holy Spirit helped me to do it. And I know for a fact he'll do it for you. Consider these things. There are so many glories to enter into. Salvation is the first one. Healing can be the first glory a person enter into. They get healed. Hey, I believe God now. Then they get saved. Okay, I'm saved. Then they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then they develop. Some people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They operate in ministry under the anointing, but they don't have a relationship with the Lord, and that's possible. Your relationship, a thriving relationship with the Lord, is possible to have a thriving ministry without a thriving relationship. You can enter a glory and live there and do a lot of good and not have a strong relationship. That's why some of the prophets, you know, Joshua came to Moses saying, they down there prophesying. Moses said, don't be jealous of me. I wish they all prophesied. And then when Miriam got upset with Moses, she said, the Lord talked to us too. But he talked to Moses face to face. You can have a gift and not have a relationship. I want you to have both. And see if Jesus is your head, you won't have such a problem with the new things that he's trying to reveal to you. And every minister that have, they turn their back on the new things God was trying to introduce to them because they were already convinced, though, according to the old way. Just like the proverb I just read a little while ago, chapter 18, verse 8. If a man answer a matter before he hears it, it's foolishness to him. But if you hear God out and see it through, my ministry, I say, I want to see what happens. I want to see how this goes. God has given me revelation, and I'm not preaching it. Well, something's going to happen one day. I want to see what happens. And then he gave me direction, and I was comforted. And I'm still coming. I'm still excited. I can't see the size of my ministry, and I don't want to. I want to just do what he said do. I'm happy in him. I'm doing these things because I believe him. My king don't do anything for nothing. And I'll leave on that note. There's so much more. I'm doing this because I love his people, all of his people. And I want to see your ministry at its best situation. God has so much to say. But if you go by the past and what people have done, and the only thing you know, there's a whole lot more ground and territory to take. He said, occupy till I come. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I encourage everybody to do the same thing. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.